You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
And welcome everyone to another episode of Your Dose of Death podcast. It is just myself, Lauren, today, but I am not alone. As you know, this is the historic third episode we are putting out in a single week. This is huge because there's so much wrestling going on, so much deathmatch wrestling going on this weekend to start off the month of March. I'm joined by someone who has become a new friend of mine, someone who really has a great vision, and someone who is celebrating 2 years with Circle Six. A guy who, I mean, you've seen King of the Death, you've seen all these wild shows, but you get to hear from the man himself, none other than my good friend, Mike Gavorgian. Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
What's up, dude? It's good to be on with you. I'm doing good, man. I'm stoked for this weekend, stoked for that we're still alive and kicking and doing the thing.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, we wish we had like a light tube laden birthday cake or something like that. I was like, bring it out for you guys with a happy 2 years of Circle Six.
That's a good idea. Maybe we'll pull one together for the weekend and bring it out.
I was going to say, feel free to tag me in it. Yeah, I was
going to say. Yeah, no, I'll credit you for that one if we do it.
But anyways, happy 2 years of Circle Six. You guys have really grown. Me and him were talking kind of off air, and I think a big thing that has happened over the last few years is the growing fan base for you guys. I mean, you guys have been – you're based out of LA, of course. Those shows in 1792. We've seen you guys really grow, really over these last 2 years to doing a lot of stuff. I mean, King of the Death matches back, all this crazy stuff. But I want to go back to the very first year you guys started. I mean, there was always people like, oh, this stream, this and that. There's always gripes and criticisms.
Yeah.
What has it been meant to you to see this growth over the last few years, especially since you really started promoting these shows now?
I mean, listen, this is, I'll start off by just kind of even, because I never really acknowledged a lot of this, like the gripes from the first show, from the stream and stuff, like kind of the level of crazy that went on just that for that first thing to even happen. The original idea for the company was that everything was going to stream for free, that we were going to like either do Twitch or YouTube or wherever and like build that platform. We had 7,000 viewers on that stream.
Yeah, that was a lot of people. I remember
it was trending number one in the US during the show. It wasn't even like the automatic content ID for Twitch. Like that stream was like mass reported to be taken down. It was crazy. and then on top of that, we didn't have our production crew or anything in-house for that. I brought in a few camera people with random gear that didn't have any live broadcast experience. And I kind of was like rewiring everything myself as the show was going on, switching the broadcast myself as the show was going on, and trying to maintain that. During the show, there was a power outage down the street from a transformer that blew up and took everything down after the stream had already been blocked. So we literally just brought it up and I put it on Restream and sent it to our Facebook and everywhere else that I could at that exact moment to try to make it work. And to be honest, it was incredible that we even pulled it off with all the shit that went wrong. It was our first time, you know, what do you expect? That was shocked that it went as well as it did. But as far as like where we've been able to go to from there, I'm almost a little bit as surprised as anybody we've lasted, because we've had so many changes and we've gone through so many different transitions in the company. There's a lot of points that I wasn't happy with the way things were happening and we shifted gears, and other people weren't happy with the way things were going and we shifted gears. But I'm actually like, I would say that after King of the Death match, and you can ask anybody in the locker room, because I said this publicly, that if it ended the next day after Barroom Blitz, I would walk away satisfied. I would actually be okay. Everything from here on is just like, it's like saying I'm playing on the casino's money. Like I think I feel good, you know?
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, like, I remember like people and from the seven tapings to just really like getting yourself. I mean, you really have like several different markets that you guys have now flourished to. I mean, yeah, LA is kind of home base, which of course we'll talk about the anniversary shows and the Ballroom Blitz coming up. But yep. Like you have Houston now, which has become a surprising new market for deathmatch really kind of over the last year. But then Chicago as well, you've really grown into a venue that really didn't see that much wrestling for years in Reggie's. And I mean, as a Chicago local, that's like the biggest thing ever, because Reggie's is like the mecca of all these bands. And then of course our good friend Marcus Crane, rest in peace, worked there. So seeing wrestling back in the at Reggie's of all places is huge. But of course, I mean, you're still growing. And I think I want to kind of talk about the talent that you brought in, because of course, Atticus Coger, one of the focal points. Of course, Bobby Beverly, your King of the Deathmatch winner. Of course, Matthew Justice, your current Circle Six world champion. I could go on and on, but I think the one that definitely caught everyone's attention, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, Drake Younger. This was definitely a hot button issue, to say the least. But a guy who, of course, was seen in other promotions, came back to Deathmatch Wrestling, and you guys made kind of, to everyone's surprise, the move to bring him in. And I mean, what has it meant to you to have a guy like Drake Younger in your locker room now?
Man, he's been beyond expectation in his contribution, in his willingness to be a part of the team, in his willingness to work with anyone and everyone. And Drake was not a guy that I knew in the industry prior to meeting him last year. He was in WWE by the time I started getting involved in wrestling, and I'd only heard about him through other people. Nobody really had anything bad to say about him. They were always, he was a positive guy, good attitude, great this whatever, right? Pandemic happens, we hear all the crazy shit that is like coming out about him, that he, you know, he gets let go. And just like anybody else, I had my preconceived notions on who he was. But having the opportunity to get to sit down and talk with him, like I said before, it was kind of like it was an eye-opening experience, because I myself went into it thinking, I don't think like this. This is not my mentality. I'm not going to get along with this guy. We'll be cordial. I hope everything's cool. But then it started with this conversation of like this passion for wrestling that we share, right? And then passion for deathmatch. And then it turned into like a technical conversation on production and how you map out your shows. And then it's, as we started talking about our personal opinions and whatnot, and I even brought up of like, you know, I'm not necessarily a fan of this and this and whatever. Hold on, sorry, my dog's coming in the room.
No worries. We love a special guest.
Yeah, it's all right. We're gonna get a special guest on this one. it was nice to get to have that with him. And he was at XPW obviously at the time, and there was nothing where, you know, I told him, I go, door's always open if you want to be here and it works out and we can make something happen. Obviously he retired. When he did and he was injured, I hit him up and I was like, hey, I know, you know, you got kids coming, you got three already there, two more on the way. If there's anything we can help you out with our some merchandising, whatever, you know, we're here. I know we never worked together, but we're here to help, right?
Absolutely.
When he was when he was thinking about coming back, we talked a bit, and you know, he wanted to come in with us, and I expressed my concerns about the reception of things and kind of like the way his persona, although may not have been who he is in real life, was kind of handled publicly on camera, and things that we would need to clear up and how things would need to be as a part of Circle Six. And I said in this interview that they would knock out some three counts.
Yes, I remember that.
It's on him, right? Like, where I'm giving the opportunity, Circle Six is giving the opportunity of this platform for him to like show the world who he is. And it's not, we don't expect people to accept it immediately, but what we can do is give him the opportunity in the right places to be around a diverse locker room that can, he can leave a better legacy, you know, than what he was offered at the end, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's been important to me, and obviously he's at the top of his game still, you know, and he's putting on incredible matches. But anybody who knows me will also say that, like, I don't give a shit how good of a wrestler you are. if I think you're a piece of shit, I wouldn't want to work with you.
Yeah. I mean, couldn't have said it better myself even.
We've also kind of had a little bit of a track record of like bringing in people that, you know, have gone through shit, you know, like,
yeah,
we were the first ones to book Zach Wentz. We got heat when we brought in Brian Kendrick. We got heat when we brought in AJ, you know, like we even got heat, fucking stupid heat when we brought in Cross because of some the bullshit that was happening with, and Cross is an amazing human being. Like him and Scarlett were fantastic people. It was small heat, but it was still but it's just, it's crazy that, you know, you got to judge the person, like you got to talk to the person and like know the person and make your decision and your judgment there, not just based off of the things you hear. And I think that's what we like to do as much as we can. And maybe we're not as vocal about backing that decision publicly, but I also don't feel like we owe anybody an explanation aside from just trust us as people, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's only as we'll talk about with the two anniversary show, I mean, you're putting him in really big spots. I mean, it's with Drake, I should say, like it's really cool to see him back in the saddle, really doing some big stuff. I mean, put him in that main event in Detroit with Bobby Beverly, literally, in my opinion, one of the best deathmatch wrestlers going right now, Bobby Beverly. Like it's a really diverse locker room, and it's only going to get better, as I say. So I want to talk though about this interesting relationship you've brought in. I mean, you've in the music industry, because yes, wrestling fans are wrestling fans, but wrestling fans love music, and you've had some really interesting relationships with music and or music venues. I mean, you're out here having a relationship with Knotfest. You've managed to get into one of the biggest like in music venues in the country in Reggie's. Like, where did this whole idea of bringing in wrestling and music come together in a way?
It's kind of, well, my background is from the music industry, and it was always in kind of like heavier alternative punk, hardcore stuff, metal, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that world has gone hand in hand. Just WWE at one point was just like a very metal centric, like,
yeah,
company, right? And even NXT in like the, you know, late 2010s, and you know, was like, yeah, Code Orange on there.
Yeah. And yeah.
So that audience crosses over kind of very naturally, you know, and a lot of these guys are wrestling fans. And just on the relationship, the ease of building those relationships, it's everybody will look at these musicians and go, they're rock stars, or this, or that, right? But the unique thing about wrestling is that the musicians and even like actors and whatnot to a degree will like look at wrestlers, even they may not have the same amount of money or exposure or whatever, but if you're a fan of this wrestler, you still have this like superhero kind of vibe to you, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll look at you in that same way. So when you give people an opportunity to give them, bring that crossover, they're a lot more open to exploring it than they would be in any other type of like normal business relationship. So with my background in music and even my partner Jonathan through Slingshot, or like been the one like doing organizing a lot of the barroom stuff, and you know, we had a relationship working with Brody King and doing merch for God's Hate. And, our designer Richie does a lot of work for other hardcore bands in the scene, so it's kind of been a natural progression. And then when we started Circle Six, we didn't want to run VFWs or high school gyms or any like the typical like venues you would see wrestling in.
Yeah.
We wanted to have the venue come with some level of like higher production capability to make that presentation better. And you have to go to music venues for those. So as we would go into these buildings, we would have shows that would kind of route around these situations of other bands that are on tour and whatnot. People would stop in early if they're there a day early, stay a day later if they had an off day on the road, and more bands became exposed to what was going on. Like 1720 is a perfect example. You know, like you get a venue like that, you have a built-in video wall, you got built-in lighting, sound and lighting crew that's able to help, you know, with your cues for the event, good internet is ready to go, the capability to run good production. So all of that kind of plays into how we were able to grow as like as a company, plus into that music world. And Reggie's, I mean, they had done wrestling in the past when Marcus was
yes,
there, but our relationship with Marcus was kind of what got us into the building. Is when I talked to the buyer for the building, it was, you know, he knew we had mutual connections through music industry, through agents and labels. But then also he asked me, he mentioned that they run wrestling back there. And I go, yeah, my friend Marcus used to work there. And that relationship of having that was like, okay, we've heard about you. Marcus has talked about you before in the past through people. Other people in his community vouched for us. And it was just like, okay, if there's a company that's going to come in and do it and wants it, this is a good fit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and as someone who literally, by the time this comes out, literally it was not even just 2 weeks ago, you guys brought Barroom Blitz to Chicago for the first time, which, as I told you off record, and I'll say it on here, I was begging a promoter to bring a no ring show, any no ring show whatsoever, because I think Chicago would be a great no ring wrestling city. But you guys did it with Barroom Blitz. And I want to get to Barroom Blitz because I think it's like, out of all like the no ring, there's a lot, there has become a bit more no ring, like New Fear City, Time Bomb, yeah, all these ones. But like, you guys are, I mean, you're bringing in quality artists and you're putting on like good wrestling matches. I mean, like, you brought it, I'm trying to remember the lineup now. Like, I'm not the biggest like hardcore music person. Like, I respect the genre, but I had a hell of a time at Chicago. It's such a cool vibe to see these people. Like, most of the people there probably had never seen wrestling like that before.
It was a 50-50 split. And I think almost every single Barroom Blitz we've done has been a 50-50 audience split, which has allowed more people to become integrated into the wrestling community. Even with the Poor Kids Mansion shows, the Backyard Party shows.
Yes, those look so cool.
We'd have a live band playing over there that are... The one thing that I heard from everybody in that audience the most was, I didn't know wrestling could be like this, because nobody's reaching out to this community. You think you are by branding a show a certain way or whatever, but like, you got to be ingrained in that community. Like, Chris does a great job, but he comes from that background.
Yes,
you know, he comes from that music world. So those connections are authentic and they're natural. They're there. It doesn't feel forced. And anyone who comes from any kind of counterculture community or alternative community knows that it's very easy to kind of smell out the inauthenticity in people, you know?
Yeah, and I get it.
That's why RPW gets that love that they do in that world. And I think that's why we get that love that we do in our world, because it is authentic from our end, you know?
So I do want to ask about Barroom Blitz. Like, where did the concept of Barroom Blitz first begin at? I want to get your point of view.
So Jonathan was the one who came up with the name for it. I remember I was off on a trip. I stayed a couple days extra from after a show we did in some city. I can't remember. Maybe it was Cleveland. Okay. I flew back, and like 2 days later, I'd gotten back, and the logo was already done, and like, the name was done. He's like, we're going to do the no ring with live music. And I was like, that's fucking great. All right, let's figure it out where we're going to go. Cancer Christ, perfect for the 2 year anniversary show.
Yes.
They were on the first one. And the concept was always just a chaotic kind of in your face experience. You know, wrestling shows are very regimented, right? Like, entrance music, match, bell, exit music, pause, reset into the thing. Right.
Yeah.
But live concert, you kind of have a little bit of the same thing too, right? You have your band performs, band ends, music plays in the venue, and then they reset the stage.
Yeah.
We try to like give this almost like kind of nonstop, like insane experience of there's always something going on. There's not too much downtime. If it is, it's bar time, but there's still like, it's a mix of every type of like sensory experience in one, you know?
Well, I mean, that's awesome. I think I really like the idea, because I mean, yeah, like, you're combining two things and you're putting them into this one chaotic animal in a way. And it just works. It works out in this, the most chaotic but beautiful way in a sense. So,
for sure.
Let's get into these anniversary shows that you have coming up. As you said, Cancer Christ is one of the bands. I've heard of them. They're like longtime hardcore legends.
Yep. They just went on they did some tour dates with Gore recently.
Okay.
They've been blowing up, yeah.
Yeah. So Barroom Blitz, I mean, looking at it, you have the Lifers on there, Rob Shitta, guy who I've enjoyed, AJ. I'm trying to see who else you got. Who's this Buck Skya and Big Dick Haas? I feel like I've heard of them.
Buck Skinner and Big Dick Haas. Buck's actually been doing some New Japan stuff in LA.
Oh, okay.
Recently as well. He trains out there. It's both these guys. Well, actually, Buck, not Big Dick Haas. He wasn't able to make it, but Buck was on the Barroom Blitz TV show that we filmed recently that's going to get it in. So they're local.
I forgot about the TV thing. I was gonna say we had a talk about that. We just saw
the first. We just saw the first cuts from that without anything really, like no effects, no nothing, like being no color correction. But
wow,
it looks great. Yeah,
that's gonna be really cool. That's gonna put No Ring in a different light. And I think that's one thing that I like about you guys is you're not afraid to put yourself out there in these different situations. I mean, No Ring wrestling's always been like, oh, some people like gripe about it. They're like, oh, it's too much, and I'm like, when you see Bar and Blitz and you see like the chaos from it, you're like, oh damn, I want to be a part of this. So I think it's really cool that
we almost even refer to it as bar fights half the time. We don't even call it No Ring Wrestling.
And I mean, of course you have Casanova on it, but also you have guys like former TV guys like Peter Avalon, which is really cool. Yep. So I mean, it's a good roster for Bar and Blitz, and I'm excited to see how that turns out. But let us get into this EIP, the 2-year anniversary, the real, the granddaddy of them all, as we'll say for this one. I mean, you have Lex from Three Teeth, as me and you talked about beforehand, one of the special guests. So again, that love of music and wrestling coming together in a big way here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and Lex is like I told you kind of off camera, Lex is a dude that's always loved the wrestling business. He's a incredibly creative, passionate dude about everything he gets involved with. We'd been trying to figure out a way to get him in with us, but tour scheduling and whatnot, this never worked out. This was the first time that it kind of fit. And I called him. I was like, hey, we're doing our 2-year anniversary. You want to just be there and, you know, maybe introduce a few matches, do DJ and something just to be a part of the show. We'll figure it out. And, you know, he literally just jumped at it. He's loved it. So we're going to try this. I hope this is the start of a good relationship where we'll be able to do more together and maybe hopefully in the future incorporate Three Teeth into one of our weekends and, you know, get them performing somewhere.
Yeah. And of course, special guest host Zicky Dice, a guy who has hosted before. What's that relationship been like with Zicky Dice, another guy been on TV, a guy who's been around? Yeah. Like, what's that relationship been like with him? Because he seems to be loving everything.
I love Zicky. We had, you know, me and him have had a good opportunity over the last 2 years to get close and get to know each other. And we've built a good friendship, a good working relationship. He's a very creative, passionate dude. As you see, like, the stuff, how hard he works just even on his Twitch stream stuff. And he's always trying to innovate. And he has always got, you know, great ideas. I think he came into King of the Deathmatch as, like, our ring announcer.
Yeah, he did.
It was unexpected. An unexpected thing for people, which, again, kind of – he killed it. Just because you're a great wrestler doesn't mean you always have to wrestle. A lot of these guys have different traits.
He's a larger-than-life personality, too, so he fits that.
Exactly. Great voice, great look. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's very personable. Great ring announcer. Cass, look, we put him in commentary. People fucking love that Cass combo, Cass KG combo. You know, we're trying to get as many people incorporated in unique situations and give opportunities where we can, you know.
Speaking of got being put in unique situations, the first like match we're gonna talk about is the Cruel's Open Challenge. You don't see this everywhere. You see him popping up in New Fear City. You see him in England. You see him everywhere. But an open challenge, I don't know who's got the balls to sell to that.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't necessarily know either. you know, there's a lot of people that talk shit in LA about how tough they are, so we brought in Cruel. Let's see what happens. Let's see who's going to come out.
I pray for whoever does come out, makes it out alive, because I was saying this on Twitter the other day, or X, whatever you want to call it. Like, there are not many people in this world that can take a gusset to the chest like Cruel and be like, yeah, I'm just going to
pop. And no flinch.
No flinch. He doesn't even move. Terrifying.
He doesn't even move.
Well, speaking of Pierre Avalon, we talked about earlier, but PP Skid. Is this like a new – is it PP Shit?
PP Shit.
Like, shit. Is this like a new like tag team that just started up? Is a
no? So we did. We did back in 2022. We did. I tagged Peter and Rob shit together, because they were, because Peter Avalon was doing PP Ray with Ray Rosas.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we tagged those guys together. And there's some good vignettes that we filmed. I got to find them and I'll send them to you off there. Okay. But yeah, Pete, Rob shit and pretty Peter Avalon PP shit is the thing. So I wanted, they were obviously both off doing their own thing in different worlds. But when I talked to Rob, he's like, what do you want to do for the 2-year anniversary? I was like, I'm going to call Peter. The only thing I want to see is a PP shit reunion from you. So.
Well,
you're going to love it. And anybody that's attending the show needs to bring some dollar bills to stuff into their pants.
Oh, geez.
They're going to, Peter's going to be grinding around the ring with Rob all night. Oh
God.
Making money. It's going to be a real weird show.
It is going to be a real weird show. I love it. But the other legit match here, this is like, I told you off camera, this is like the big what the F match of the weekend for me. But AJ Gray versus Bestia 666. I've seen that, like, Bestia in Chicago. I've seen him do like lucha shows. But like, I mean, AJ could literally like tear this dude's head off.
He could, if he could catch him.
If he could catch him, that's the thing. And Bestia is not afraid to get hardcore either. That's the thing.
Yeah. That dude is not, I think it's going to be a real interesting match, is like kind of what I compared it to when we were talking off air about King of the Death match and Adam Priest being in the tournament, but then having that fucking crazy dog collar match with Orin.
Yeah.
People weren't expecting Adam to go the way he did. I think sometimes it's like those like weird matchups where you get real, real surprised how good it could actually be. It could steal the show. You know, there's crazy matches on there, but that could, remember when AJ and Mal, did you watch that?
Yeah,
one?
I did.
From the last 1720 show.
I did.
That match was insane. You know,
it was, but next up, this is like one of the two big ones here. And of course, I'm talking about the Koger brothers versus Drake Younger and Dale Patricks. I think Atticus has been having his eye on Drake for a little bit, and now he gets to have a little piece of Drake Younger. I feel like, I mean, that's a match you could put it in a freaking pipe dream. You wanted Atticus versus Drake for a while now. And I mean, we could go back to like No Peace when Atticus called him out, and now it's somewhat happening here in a, and Dale's a guy who maybe is underutilized to some, but this is like, you're putting Dale Patrick in a big, big spot here with Drake Younger and all people.
Yeah. I'll speak on Dale real quick before anything else. Yeah. I don't think that there's anybody more deserving of getting an opportunity like that that has not ever had it other than Dale. Okay. That dude kills himself on the daily when he's out, you know. He always goes hard.
I'm thinking about him and Bev at Barroom, and I come up to you and I'm like, dude, they're both bleeding profusely and it's only match two of the night. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is only match two, come on now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was great
when Dale wrestled AJ in Indianapolis in February of last year.
Mm-hmm.
3 days, 4 days after he had his appendix removed.
Oh my God.
I like, this dude's on another level. He does not give a fuck about anything. And he won't let anybody tell him no. Dale deserves every bit of success. So I want him to get that platform. I think this is a great opportunity.
Yeah. It's a hell of an opportunity.
And, as far as Atticus and Drake go, yeah, there was that No Peace,
that moment. Infamous Mike moment.
Yeah, I know. Listen, that night was, I was in Orlando that night. It was, that whole situation was real fucking wild. Atticus and Drake is a match I wanted to see. It's a match I know Atticus wanted. It's a match Drake definitely wanted, because even when he was coming over with us, he sent me a list of, you know, names that he wants to be able to get in the ring with before he retires, and Atticus was on that. This is the first steps to teasing wherever we can get to with that. So I'm hoping these guys have a fucking fantastic match, which I have no doubt that they will.
And I mean, it's just gonna see the Koger brothers back together too. I can't get enough of that.
Yeah, and I think Otis has really been able to shine this past year as well. You know, and
I've become a big fan. I've become a big fan of Otis over the last year.
Yeah, Otis pulled the curtain back a little bit. Like, Otis wanted to be a part of this from inception, obviously, because of Atticus too, you know, and they're how close they are. Otis and I were never, we didn't really know each other like that. I've talked to him probably once or twice the entire time that I was in the business, aside from until Circle Six started. And he brought, you know, he wanted to be on the show. He brought himself out to LA and asked for a match. We put him in with Bateman, and he killed it and kept him a part of the crew, and always wanted to find something for him. And I think he took that blunt force trauma concept and just like ran with it in a crazy way and made it his own. And, you know, he's really been shining. So it's cool to get, be able to see him, you know, grow with us and everywhere else over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. He's, he has a big weekend coming up with the No Real Barbed Wire the day before with Heater. So
I know.
And I've already talked about that enough, and I'm just nervous as hell for that one. So I don't need to say much more.
You and me both. I hope one of our main events doesn't fucking fall apart.
No. We'll be fine.
I know. I'm joking.
But the big match that was the main event of this show, a steel cage match. Is this the first time you guys have seen a steel cage match?
This is the first steel cage match for the company. Yeah. And it may be a little reckless with those four inside of it.
So the Lifers, Matt Justice, of course, your Circle Six world champion, and Bobby Beverly, your King of the Deathmatch champion. So both guys at the top of the ladder of the company against the South Pacific Savages, Jacob Fatu and Journey Fatu. This is just pure carnage in a freaking steel cage.
It seemed the appropriate main event for the two-year anniversary.
Journey Fatu was a guy who was in King of the Death too, who I mean, he took skewers in the butt. That is an image that lives rent-free in my head, courtesy of Wrestling Unicorns, because he got the best view of it. And I'm just seeing him does this dude just not feel pain whatsoever?
I mean, he is Samoan. You know that. Yeah, of course. It's fucking crazy.
But oh my Lord. I mean, Jacob Fatu, though, a guy who's not a stranger to violence either. I mean, one of the most unique independent wrestling talents out there in general. I get at least several DMs a day of people why is this guy not signed anywhere? And I'm like, he's just loving what he does right now. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he is such a unique talent. It's kind of incredible the things he's able to do. He will shock you every time he goes out there. And Journey's the same to a level the same. Same way, look at these guys, and it's just they're so different in the way that they work. But when you put them together, it flows so smoothly. You know, when those two are tagging together, they had an incredible match with Bobby and Eric in Cleveland in our second show.
I remember that. That was wild.
I have a feeling that this could be a match of the year type of crazy experience that's going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Matt Justice is the guy who he feels rejuvenated. Matt Justice, maybe a little underutilized elsewhere, but then he comes to Circle Six, world champ, puts on great matches with guys like Atticus in Chicago. The No Ring with Remington Roar, a good friend of mine, was great. Matt Justice looks like a new man.
He feels like a new man. I mean, obviously, him and I hadn't seen each other for a while, and then when he was able to come back to and work with us, seeing him be able to freely create that House of Doom match, WrestleMania weekend in LA was kind of the catalyst for it. That was it. That's an idea that him and Bobby came up with, wanted to do. Bobby presented it to me, and we built it out exactly how they wanted it. And Matt coming in, I don't want to speak for him, but at the same time, I feel comfortable enough saying that him coming in and seeing the level of care that would be put into something that he wanted to create, I think it kind of allowed him to a degree to be able to think a little more freely and kind of go, okay, these are all ideas I'm thinking of. And I know that if I say it, it's going to be heard and it can be done, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think, it's important. Like this is a creative industry. It's a business where passion carries you further than anything else, and you have to love it. If you can't create freely, it's hard to love it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. You hit it right on the head. What does EIP stand for? That's my last question on the show. Just I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah, existence is punishment.
Okay, okay. That's a good, even better in show name than just EIP. I was like, damn. But EIP
Yeah, we just called it EIP because I didn't want to type out existence is punishment 1,000 times.
Well, Mike, this has been an amazing conversation with you, and it definitely is interesting, especially because I want people to hear this and to understand your perception of where Circle Six is now, but where they're headed. What maybe are some goals you have for the rest of the year with Circle Six? I mean, you're at the 2-year anniversary mark. Like, I mean, yeah. There has to be more in the pipeline. I mean, what are just some goals, like, general?
There's a lot of goals. So there's things that are coming back this year. Six of the Six will be back again this year.
Okay.
We're going to be working towards that. King of the Deathmatch will be back in December. We're going to make an announcement on that shortly.
Okay.
That people will be surprised about and happy about, I think. So it'll be good. It's kind of hard because obviously, like, the typical answers are, I want the company to grow. I want us to make more money. I want to have it be sustainable, all of that. But like, the true goals, I think, for me, and I think it's a little, everybody in the company kind of shares the same vision, but we all have our individual different goals. For me, it's really to be able to continue to make an impact with whatever we're doing, whether it's financially for the talent that works for us, or mentally, physically for the talent that works for us. You know, we've talked about in the past, like, I place a lot of importance on, like, physical health, mental health of the people that are around us, because it is such a taxing business on both your body and your mind. It's done it to me, you know, and I notice myself go through these waves of, it's good and it's great, and then I'm down and it's fucked up and I'm not feeling good. And I see a lot of people I care about go through it. So we just try to do as much as we can. If we can end the year with everybody feeling good and progressing in their life, it would mean more to me than the company being further ahead. I'm happy where we're at and the fan base that we're building. I don't want to overextend and try to do things that are too risky. And I really just want to focus on the team that we have and giving our people the best opportunity to live a good life. And I think that's really it. And we want to actually, like, we're trying to do some more, like, charity stuff and branch out and do different things of that nature, and really just, you know, use this. There isn't a lot of alternative lifestyle brands in that are this kind of out there that can reach an audience that wouldn't normally be able to communicate.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I'd like to be able to, like, use our brand to be able to reach out to communities that wouldn't normally have a voice, you know? So that's really the long-term goal.
Yeah. I mean,
feed your soul as much as your pocket, you know?
That's awesome. I think that's a great place to stop, because, I mean, again, you guys are still making things so unique. You're really putting yourself out there in different situations, as you've said many a times. And I mean, again, like, it's really awesome to see you guys grow. And as I got happy 2 years, it's only going to go up from here. And I mean, you guys are really setting a different standard that maybe isn't seen enough. I think that's really a good way to put it. So
I like this, that, man.
Thank you. So to end this one, I always like to let my guests plug anything they have. Well, of course, we've plugged the everlasting crap out of the anniversary show. But is there anything else? Like, where can people follow Circle Six? Where can people, like, keep up on things with Circle Six going on?
Yeah, Instagram is circle6.co. Twitter is circle6, for X is circle6_co. All of our links are in the social media bio. If you Google us, YouTube, whatever. I know everybody complains about lack of content. There's going to be a lot more live streaming happening this year.
Good.
There's a lot of, like, the lack of releasing stuff has been semi-intentional. Everything will come out. Everything that people, like, are complaining about not seeing, it will all be there. Okay. It's just take some time. We also, I don't want to like put stuff out that doesn't look good, you know, that doesn't like, doesn't serve the purpose, you know. We have, you know, the experiences are for the live audience a lot of time, and then everyone else will get everything, you know.
Yeah,
but we appreciate the support. Honestly, like the fact that people are frustrated about it shows that they care, and it's not unheard. We couldn't have believed that we'd be able to grow as much as we did in such a short time, and you know, we love everybody that helps us for it. So, you know, in the end, it's just, you know, thank you for always supporting it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for making the time for me, Mike, and thank you for everything you've done, and your contributions to professional wrestling and deathmatch wrestling are definitely there. And I mean, I'm excited to see what the future holds for you guys. So, and again, happy 2 year anniversary. So, thank you guys for listening to this conversation with Mike G from Circle Six. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting. And see you guys on the flip side.
Thank you, guys.
This has been a Countout Podcast.